It doesn't affect me at all, this changing climate. First of all, I don't live in Poland, so it doesn't practically has any consequences, although maybe I shouldn't be so bold, because there is actually a case that is has been initiated against me, but it doesn't lead anywhere, and I'm sure that there will be no consequences. But as far as my work, you know, this is a segment of public opinion, the one that has now been successful in electing absolute majority into parliament and a president. So these are people who came to power, and they had always been, if you will, negationists vis-a-vis the historiography that has come about as a result of my work, and then, frankly, the bulk of the work about the Second World War, which deals with complicity of the Polish population at the time in the extermination of the Jews, it has been done by Polish historians. And I don't think this is this new climate will have an impact on what these already well-established historians are doing. They have spoken against it, and they are determined to continue. It will have an impact, I'm sure, on the way history is taught and on the way young people decide about setting themselves up in the field of history. A young student and young doctoral student will think twice before, I suppose, engaging in these pursuits. A great Polish poet, Czesław Miłosz, wrote in one of his great poems also a wonderful phrase about the political party that was at the time in power, the Communist Party, and the National Radical Camp, ONR. And he said, the party is really the continuation of the this radical national camp, a very nationalistic, xenophobic, anti-Semitic, pre-war splinter from the main the main national party that existed in Poland. This regime today is, in a sense, a confirmation of Miłosz's intuition, written in 1956, I think. This is when he wrote his long poem where this phrase was included. Left-right difference here doesn't matter. What matters is this kind of a xenophobic impulse and authoritarian also impulse for the way in which the government ought to be organized inside the country. So the regime of this PIS, the law and justice, this is a complete misnomer, oxymoron, for the party which breaks the law and has no idea of what justice is. Their nationalist, xenophobic air that they have introduced into politics now is very, very similar, and there are just striking similarities to what has been done in 1968. There was a very wonderful exhibit, which was called The Stranger in the House, that was opened last year in the Polin Museum, in the Museum of Polish Jewish History, about March 1968 events. And the last tableau there were various quotes taken out from the current, in other words, 2018 rhetoric as it was deployed in the media, and 1968, yes, and it was quite striking. Today, research on the subject of Polish-Jewish relations, particularly during the Second World War, and the complicity of the Polish of various segments of Polish society in the persecution of Jews, is really thriving in Poland. It's an amazing historiographical achievement. There are so many works, fundamental works, that have been done. And indeed, it has grown out of new archival resources. New archival resources, it's not in the sense that they were inaccessible. Somehow we historians did not have the intuition before to reach for case trials that had been conducted immediately after the war, and then for decades after the war, of collaborationists. And we didn't realize that there would be so much material there about the complicity of Poles in the persecution of Jews. So what has been done is that the research was launched on the basis of these archives, and it's just going and going. You know, all kinds of aspects of these issues are being investigated. But something that I want also to emphasize is that it has opened the gates and somehow raised awareness and drew in cultural critics. And an extraordinarily interesting body of work has been done by literary critics, cultural critics in general, who investigate cultural productions, books, pieces of theatrical pieces, films that have been produced in Poland since the war, and reveal in them this enormous amount of material that's referencing. Actually, it's very convoluted, because what it does very often is just provides a, if you will, obfuscation of the reality of Polish-Jewish relations. But to what extent this dramatic experience during the war has borne and kind of weighed on the shoulders of artists to rethink this period. I know of very interesting work that has been done in Lithuania. In Ukraine, I'm not aware of a major breakthrough, but there are, as you know, there is a Professor Himka, for example, though he lives outside of Ukraine. But I think historians everywhere are confronted with the existence of now, and they know that there is a body of archival work that can be accessed. And secondly, what we have become much more aware of is the value of personal testimonies. And there are, of course, personal testimonies from Jewish survivors that have been available since immediately after the war. It's just that they have not been taken very, very seriously into account by historians. But now we all know that it's an extraordinarily valuable source. I'm essentially thinking all the time about these issues, but also I have written some years ago about another Second World War episode, namely the Soviet Union's occupation of eastern half of Poland in the first 2 years of the war, 1939-1941, when Stalin and Hitler were linked by a pact of non-aggression and friendship, in fact. And I'm revisiting this subject. I'm writing this book now in Polish, including materials from Soviet archives that were not available before, when originally I wrote my monograph. Oh, of course, we must be very much always, we have to keep in mind that political trials were a routine matter in this period. Stalinism was a very ideological period and a very brutal one. But when you read trial materials, it's very easy to tell which trials are political and which are not. There has been a lot, and these were really non-political. There is no political interest. I'm talking about Poland, but it would be the same about Ukraine and or Lithuania. There is no political interest at all to show that local population had been involved in the persecution of local Jews. It gives no mileage. It's of no interest to communist rulers who come to power over there. If anything, they want to efface the whole specificity and drama of Jewish suffering. It's most characteristic in the Soviet Union, where, in fact, Holocaust disappears and the martyrology of Jews disappears, and it becomes actually politically a completely inappropriate way to speak about the war by singling out, by pointing out that Jews were especially targeted by the Nazis for extermination, essentially. So in that sense, it's one can very comfortably use these materials, being careful, of course, but they are not these are not political trials. This is very, very, very interesting. I mean, there is a profound, it seems to me, again, I'm mostly speaking about Poland now, but I'm convinced that this will be to more or less greater degree a case in many other European countries, with the exception of Germany, perhaps. The historians have now some groups of historians who are really dedicated to researching this subject matter. There is simply no doubt in anybody's mind who reads documentation with an open mind that a significant degree of complicity was indeed the fact of these years. It changed depending on the model of occupation in different countries, but that unfortunately was the case. Now in Poland, the split between what historians know and what politicians play out in the public domain is enormous. It's just the theme that has been brought out by this ruling group is one of Polish victimization, Polish heroism in helping the Jews in every respect. So yes, there is a big hiatus, but this will narrow. I mean, one cannot. I think the truth, once it's unearthed, you cannot defend against it. It's there. I think transmission takes place, but there are these dual elements of transmission. One element is, for example, just to give, if I may refer to the case of Jedwabne, this village that I have studied 20 years ago, the young generation, people who were born after the war, knew perfectly well that this was the local population that has killed Jews in 1941. They didn't witness this. This had to be told to them. And, you know, for a very long time, in every community like this, the story of what happened to Jews had to be the subject of conversation. And because this in many places, it was the only, quote-unquote, interesting thing that has ever happened in that place, probably. So, and besides, people did not feel ashamed of it too much in any case. It took time before the whole story, it became understood that it has to be, that this is just a local knowledge. We don't want anybody from outside to find out about what has happened here. So enough of it has been passed on, it seems to me.